Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 190 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. Beginning over in entertainment, Steve's going to give a quick recap of his experience at C2E2. We'll talk about Cowboy Bebop getting canceled, some video game news, and then we'll jump into my new favorite segment of NFTs and crypto, a little bit of hacker news, and then some space talk. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, episode 190. It was a big weekend for you. Let's just hear about it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, okay. So this is going to be a little bit of a Steve segment. So C2E2... technically they didn't skip a year, right? So last year when we went to C2E2, it was beginning of first week of March, literally last convention before the world fell apart. And I remember being in the con talking about COVID and being like, yeah, they got the first confirmed case down in Chicago in Rush Hospital. Like, it was literally first confirmed case, you know?
Yep.
So that was still, you know, con at its finest, you know, strongest C2E2's been. It gets better every year. This one, you know, they usually book it for February or March. Now it's December, you know, and December in Chicago is a little cold, and you know, anime and comic costumes for women aren't that warm. let's be real. So like, I was kind of waiting to see how this went. Luckily, we had some decent weather. I mean, for mid-December in Chicago, it was, you know, mid-40s, which, and sunny, no snow. Like,
that's not bad.
You gotta fucking take it, bro. You gotta take it.
Yeah.
So I think attendance can't be, you know, weighted on weather. They did limit attendance at the con this year. I know we weren't given press passes just because they were really limiting the amount of press passes that they gave out. We did get professional badges. So they did, you know, say, you know, we can't give you press badges this year, but they gave us professional badges, which I don't know what kind of perks it gave us other than a nice hefty discount on the cost of the tickets. So I'll take it, you know. So the fun starts with the arrival at C2E2 on the first day. So I might get some people charged. You can at me, steve@thenerdcantina.com, if you want to send a hate mail. I don't give a fuck. I am not vaccinated. Okay. Take your opinions and shove it up your ass. I don't care. So I have no problem with getting tested, though, to go to these things. If that's how we got to do it, that's how we got to do it. You know, just don't force a shot on me. But I'll prove that I ain't a dirty motherfucker anytime y'all need me to prove it. So for the unvaccinated, you had to have a negative COVID test within 24 hours of entry every day. So if you went all weekend, you had to take a COVID test every fucking day before you walk in this motherfucker. They treat me like Aaron Rodgers in this motherfucker. So I go get a COVID test Friday morning, the day of the con, at like 10:30, right? 15-minute results, good to go, sent straight to my phone. So I take the test. I know I ain't got the Rona, so I just start driving after the test, knowing that they're going to send me this thing on the way. So I go, and I get there, and I walk in, and I have my negative test all ready to show everybody. And I walk into right before where there's will call, where you can get your tickets. They have the vaccination / testing proof, like, out lanes. So I get there, you know, and I walk up, and the lady's all happy and smiley. And she's like, how you doing? I said, is this where we show our proof? She's like, yeah, your proof of vaccination. Just pull it up on your phone. I said, no, I just got tested. She goes, oh.
And then she immediately put a mask on. No more smiles.
So fucking instantly I'm like, oh shit, here we go, right? So I show her the test, and she's like, you know, you're gonna have to get another one tomorrow, right? I was like, no, I won't. And she's like, yeah, you will. I was like, no, I won't. You guys open at 10 o'clock on Saturday, right? She's like, actually, you open up at 8 o'clock. I said, well, I got this motherfucker at 10:30. I'll be here at 9, 23 hours since my last test, and I'm walking right in. And she was like, damn, yup, you're right. Like, goddamn right I'm right, Karen. You fucking right I'm right. I got to have a negative test within 24 hours. If I get here by 9 o'clock tomorrow, I'm walking right in 23 hours fresh and so clean. She was like, nope, you're right. I was like, okay. You know, so she puts like the, you know, the blue band. She's like, tomorrow will be a different color. So you're going to have to come here again anyways, you know, so you can get the different color band. I was like, all right, that's fine. So I walk in, I get my badge, you know, get my pro badge. She tried to give me a regular one. I had a collar on it. I was like, nah, you look at that screen, lady. And she's like, oh, no, you're right. You get a professional badge. I said, yeah, I don't know what it means, but I want it. I want that shit. So I get it, and I walk through security, and I'm looking, and I didn't really notice until I walked past like another vaccination check spot that if you show proof of vaccination, you got this like nice cloth, neon yellow C2E2 like festival bat like thing. you know what I'm saying? So then I look and I got like the fucking trailer carny bracelet on my fucking wrist. And I'm like, man, these vaccinated people got different bracelets. Like, they're just going to out me in the middle of the fucking con. Like, yep. Hey, look at this dirty motherfucker over here. like, I'm just waiting for some fucking Karen in a fucking, you know, in a goddamn fucking Black Canary outfit with her fucking fishnets and fat ass cheeks hanging out and fucking giblets everywhere talking about, look at this dirty motherfucker.
Look at this dirty motherfucker. You're just lucky they didn't make you wear a mask that says like Novax on it. Bro, oh, I'm sorry. You have to wear this mask. Like, this is your entry.
I was like, how fucking bogus is this, man? Like everywhere, like every fucking aisle I go, you know, and I'm looking all around and everybody's got the shiny yellow cloth one, bro. Like literally day one, I didn't see another motherfucker with the fucking blue fucking badge of shame. I didn't see one. You know, and I'm looking at Megan, you know, Megan's got her nice bracelet, you know, she's there for her book interviews and shit. And I'm just like, I'm going off on this goddamn rant. Like she's like, man, this is messed up. So yeah, day one, just strolling around the con with the big fucking blue badge so everybody fucking knows to stay 6 feet from my fucking ass. Fucking I was like a little disappointed though, because it didn't have the crowd that it did, which is understandable, right? They limited capacity. A lot of people aren't going to cons, even though the Bulls are selling out every fucking week. They got the highest attendance in the NBA, but you know, it is what it is, you know. So I did notice there was a lot less people. The amount of cosplay though was quite high. You can definitely tell that a lot of the younger generation of cosplayers, what they spent their pandemic time on. Because these motherfuckers,
a bunch of mask
came
outfits.
Hard, man. they really came hard, you know. Like, and I was quite impressed with some of them. And there was a lot more, you know. It was nice to see how much of the younger generation is into like the nerd culture, and they participate, and they, you know, they had a good time. Like, so I was really happy and impressed. I did feel old as shit because most of them didn't even go into con. Most of them were out by like the big C2E2 sign in the front or fucking doing TikToks like fucking crazy.
Really?
Like that's all, like inside the con is just like regular dudes, sellers, vendors, you know, autograph seekers, some cosplayers. Outside, it was a costume TikTok party gone fucking wild. It was insane. Like to the point where when I was leaving, I must have passed 16 phones stood up while, you know, two people in Naruto's are doing some dance that I have no fucking clue about. And I'm just trying to photobomb the shit out of their TikTok, you know, as I fucking walk by. Like that, I was a little perturbed by, like, yeah, it's definitely not my con anymore. Like I'm just passing through, y'all. Like I'm just trying to get some signatures while y'all do your thing. Second day was a little bit better. There was more panels. Me and Megan went to a panel that had a longtime friend of the show, Daniel Krauss, and a few other authors that she was setting up to get interviews. So I sat at the panel with her. I was a little shocked at the reaction I got when I asked a question at the panel. So it was all YA authors, right?
Yep.
And, you know, Daniel Krauss was on the side, and you know from the interviews with him, he's got kind of like a, I wouldn't say a morbid look on society, but like,
yeah,
he's definitely
not rosy.
Yeah. So I expected it from kind of like him, but the other three authors got really kind of like defensive when I just asked like a simple question. So there wasn't many people in the panel. No one looked like they were going to get up for the Q&A. I'm like, man, I'm here for a podcast. I might as well ask something. You know what I mean? So I got up and I asked them, you know, with you guys being YA authors and having a, you know, young target audience, I was like, in this audience, you have kids that are constantly have apps and devices fighting for their attention constantly, trying to distract them and trying to vie for their you know, precious minutes of attention. Do you find that it affects your writing style at all when writing for that audience? And like, bro, they got like really fucking salty that I would even ask something. I don't write my books for some audience. I write my books for my content. And if they read it, they read it, you know? And I was like, okay. And then it got to the next one and they were even like the one dude's perspective was, he's like, actually, they're so into the digital age that when you put a book in their hand, they just get excited, like paper with words on it. And I was like, what
fucking? No fucking way. Get out of here.
He's like, it's like this new medium that they have, and it's like exciting for them to read. And I was like, bro, like you don't need to sell me. I'm not your editor. Like, I just wanted to ask a thoughtful fucking question.
So the answer is no. You don't? Okay. I love it. And you know, once the first person answers and comes hard in the paint, like, oh no, I don't pander to some audience.
I'm not getting a straight answer out of anybody.
Everybody else is kind of like, yeah, I'm an artist too.
Because that's what it was. Like, every answer was like, no, I write the book I want to write. And if they read it, they read it. If they don't, they don't. You know, like everyone said some kind of like version of that, but in like a very defensive kind of like tone. Nobody was like, you know, cheery about it. Like, no, I write what I like and I hope they read it. You know, like I really want them to read it, you know, but I'll find my audience. Everybody who had that kind of like, how dare you assume that teenagers aren't clamoring to read the script that I scribe on this parchment. Like,
this is why Megan does the interviews with the authors.
Yeah, because she is the kid that holds the paper in her hand and was like, look at these words on these pages. I love them. Like, I thought it was a good question to ask YA authors. Like, I really, like, I told Megan when we were sitting there and I saw nobody asking, I was like, I think I got a good one. You know, so I fucking walked up and asked and I got shit on.
Wait, I got to ask you a question. Did you have to raise your hand?
No, because like,
I'm just wondering if you had to expose your bracelet in order to ask the question.
Yeah, well,
that's what you got. You.
This was day two where I had a green and a blue bracelet shame on my wrist by that time. So I was extra glowing out. Okay. Sad thing is that as I was walking to security on the first day, some dude was like twirling one on his finger, and it like the check guy was twirling one on his finger, and it fell on the floor, and I picked it up, and like I could have just stole it. And actually, day two, when the lady checked my fucking test, she went to give me the bracelet of virtue. And I told her flat out, I said, no, lady, that's not that's a test. I get the other one. She's like, oh, you're right. I said, give me that green carny fucking bracelet. I don't give a fuck. Fuck all you people. I don't need your fucking, I don't need your fucking approval.
Oh, you're the worst.
I am. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, I took the test. Like, I ain't got it. What the fuck you got a problem with me for? I ain't got it. Yeah. I'm good. What the fuck? But, like, you can tell they cut corners around the con this year, too. Like, usually there's, like, nice padded red carpet everywhere. No, you were walking on concrete all goddamn day. They gave no fucks this year. There was the aisles were wider to make up for space. There was bigger gaps in the section. So, like, you could definitely tell that. I mean, for all we know, I mean, the pandemic might have hit some of these vendors hard. You know, they're small collectible sellers that travel.
Supply chain.
Yeah, we went almost, you know, 12 to 18 months without cons. Like, these guys might not have made it through. So I don't know if it was a choice not to be there, if it was an unfortunate thing that a lot of people weren't there. You know, Bandai didn't have a table there. There's a lot of, like, other big names that, like, just didn't come.
Yeah.
I was happy to see some familiar faces. Chrissy Zulo was there. I got to congratulate her on Vive making her statues in an NFT. And I tried to, like, some of the artists that I really enjoy, I made sure to go to their table and buy a print, even if I didn't want one, just to, you know, support the game. I did. I felt like I should drop a couple bucks at a couple booths and help people out.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you when you're going to tell me if you waited in line for Anakin or not.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. So day two, Anakin.
Really build into this.
Hayden Christensen's there. So I walk up to the guy. You know, there's already a line at like 10:30. There's a line. So I walk up. I'm like, you guys all prepay or did you just get in line? They're like, oh no, we all prepaid. So I walk up to the where you pay for the autographs and everything. And I'm like, all right, you know, what you got for Hayden? And they're like, oh, we got a 2 o'clock picture for $280. I was like, what y'all got on the signage? I don't need a picture with dude. I got him tattooed on my hand. I see his face every day. So fucking $175 for the autograph.
For a signature. Ooh.
$175.
Man's doing well.
Like, now I'm gonna put this on some of y'all out there. We had a couple more Patreon subscribers. I'd have paid for that and I'd have wrote it off on my taxes. But the 11 of you ain't cutting it. So I couldn't justify no Bill 75 for a funny story for the podcast. I couldn't do it. Not just mention the Bill 75, but like 2-3 hours of my life, because they didn't have another opening for the signage appointment till like 4 o'clock. So I would have had to wait till the 4 o'clock signing and then still try to fight through that line, because you know they're getting in line at 2 o'clock for the 4 o'clock signing. I couldn't justify it, man. I couldn't justify it.
You know, there's no chance I'd do it.
No chance.
I'm kind of
you came with, you guys like snuck a picture with the chick from Walking Dead because we were in the line.
No, we got in that. That was the only line we got in. That was the only line we got in. Oh, yeah, but we did sneak a picture. You're right.
Yeah, you didn't pay no for the picture.
We didn't pay for the picture. We paid for the autograph.
You had a cute baby with you, and she just didn't feel like yelling at you in front of a cute baby.
Yeah, we paid for the autograph, and she just liked our energy so much, she gave us the free picture. What can I say about it?
Okay. That's a saying. Oh, but yeah, I really wanted to. I would have liked to. Anything under 75, I probably would have. I mean, I dropped like 280 on the Neil deGrasse Tyson tickets, but that was front row picture with Tyson.
You get to listen to him talk.
I got to listen to an hour long space lecture from, you know, a great astrophysicist. Like, that 280 had some value to me. This was only $100 cheaper, and I get to say hi. I wipe my ass with your face. Thank you for the signature, and then shove me along.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to justify this to me. This is the prudent decision there.
I just couldn't do it. But then, yeah, after I made that choice, I helped Megan out with an interview just so that she wasn't flying solo. We'll be posting that sometime soon. And I went home and got ready for the family Christmas party I had on Sunday. It was uneventful, but I'm still kind of glad I didn't break the streak. And I was happy to see a lot of excited cosplayers, because like they needed to get out of the house.
They needed this.
they were truly loving life for the weekend. Like, and I, like, I felt, I really was. I was like truly happy to see how many people had good costumes and, you know, like young, you know, someone young dude in a Naruto costume and then someone young person in another person from Naruto's costume just see each other, get excited, you know, because they have the same love for the same nerd thing, make new friends. Like, that's the part of the cons I really, like, am glad they exist for. And to see people that haven't been able to do that for almost 2 years, you know, enjoying that day, that gave me the feels. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I will say though, man, if you gonna, like, we know it's pandemic con, so many people like incorporated their mask with their costume, right?
Oh yeah,
like
for sure,
totally incorporated the costume. And then there's some dipshit at the front in full Naruto gear with a Dunder Mifflin mask. like bro, really? Like, you went all out wig. I'm talking like full out Naruto costume, fucking wigs, the whole fucking shebang. And then he's got a fucking Dunder Mifflin mask on. The fuck is wrong with you, man? Don't you care about your, like, you got to take pictures with these randos. I was almost so disappointed I said something to him. The one person I did say something to that I really made their day was a woman in an all white, like, leisure suit. And I'm like, damn, like, that's like an all white suit. And then she had like little tribal down her wrist and down her two wrists. And then she had clear sandals on with like black painted feet. And I'm like, man, it's like, that really looks like the devil from Constantine. Like, I'm like, did this bitch just dress up like the devil from Constantine? Like, to me, that's like so, like, such an obscure,
it's a, yeah, deep cut there.
Like, you know, and like, they just, I was waiting for Megan to come in, and they were standing by me for a while, and right as they were about to leave and walk past me, I just kind of leaned over. I'm like, are you the devil from Constantine? And she lost her shit. She was just like, yes, yes,
and someone,
like, and like her husband came up to me and was like, did you really just get that? Did you get that? And I was like, yeah, that's fucking gangster, man. I was like, this is the gangster devil costume. And she was like, oh my God, they got it. And you could see him walking away like all giddy and joyful. I was like, well, I'm going to leave today knowing she at least got one. She got one. You know, like, I did my part. So sorry about the time. I know it was a little long, but we do this every year. C2E2 is a big thing for the show, is kind of how our show started. So that was C2E2 2021. It existed.
All right. Well, let's speed round, which never works for us.
Never.
let's speed round through a couple of these things.
All right.
First up, as we run through some entertainment, not a lot in entertainment, we got Cowboy Bebop canceled. Do you care?
Not after watching two episodes. I really, it's sad, but I really don't care. And honestly, like, isn't Netflix kind of harsh with the shit they cancel? Like,
oh, for sure they are.
Love the OA. They canceled that. They didn't give no fucks. Like, yeah, I'm surprised honestly, they haven't canceled Ozarks out of nowhere. That's all, like, how, like, cutthroat they are with their cancel button.
Honestly, I watched the entire, before it got announced that it got canceled, I actually watched all of Cowboy Bebop. I liked it. But I don't have any frame of reference for the anime.
Do you have any context from the anime?
Like, so I'm not pissed off because it's, you know, ruining anime and stuff like that. Like, to me, it's just like, no, it was a pretty interesting story. The actors actually did a really good job playing off each other and had, you know, good kind of.
Do you think it's just like some salty guy at Netflix that, like, is offended that fans care so much about accuracy?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, oh, it's not good, like, enough for you. It's not good enough for you. It wasn't comic accurate. Well, how about this?
Absolutely. I think that was it. But, you know, I saw a lot of, like, good reviews for it. But that was probably from people like me who were just kind of like, no, this is a pretty well put together Netflix show. If it's just a show,
who matters? And isn't that really who matters? Because the Cowboy Bebop fans, they're gonna watch it whether it's shitty or good. They're Cowboy Bebop fans. They were gonna watch it whether it's good or not. The target audience.
Yeah, but they complained about it.
The target audience is you, someone who knows nothing about Cowboy Bebop, watches the Netflix version and says, hey, that's not bad. I'll probably come back for season two. Because guess who's automatically going to come back for season two, even though it was a big pile of shit? The fucking Cowboy Bebop fans.
Yeah, but they probably paid the money to do this because they were hoping that, like, it would draw in new anime fans into Netflix and stuff. And they realized, like, oh, this didn't work. Like, we didn't get any new subscriptions. All we got was a bunch of hate on Twitter. So, canceled.
All right, speed round. But, round two.
Speed round. All right. quick throwback to the story. We've just been shitting on Activision Blizzard and everything going on. So I figured I'll give one quick update here on Activision Blizzard. Apparently, their devs have announced that they've started raising funds in a work stoppage and strike fund. So they can go on strike as they're trying to unionize and kind of rebel against all of the allegations and all of the, you know, the abuse and stuff that has taken place within the company. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I guess this is not going to end for Activision anytime soon.
Yeah. And I just wonder what their list of demands are, because it's not like nobody's acknowledging.
They fired the CEO.
Yeah,
they fired they fired everybody. They've replaced everybody.
They changed character names in the fucking video game.
It is tough. How you come back from this, or in the end, I think this is just it really probably is a play to unionize and stuff. This is what they're trying to do anyway.
Well, I don't want to downplay what they're fighting for. They might have some still actual good gripes for all I know, but it seems like this headline makes it seem like Activision has just kind of ignored this problem. And I think they at least need a little bit of the benefit of saying, like you said, they fired the CEO, they're changing video game characters' names, they're trying to clean up the mess, but obviously they're not doing something that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All I know is what I'll say is there's over 10,000 people in this company. I think over 1,500 of them are the developers that are talking about this. And this fund that they've raised so far is $28,000. you might want to put a little more in that account before you threaten to strike.
I got $2.
So just
come
just in case.
Come sit by this inflatable rat and hold this sign, and I got $2.
Yeah. Hopefully it's more than $28,000 now. That's where it was at, I think, 2 days ago. So all right, let's speed round it. Continue. Hey, during the video game awards, Halo, Paramount Plus dropped a Halo trailer. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I watched some of it. They've tried to do a show on Halo before. They've tried to do a couple live action things with Halo. They have.
It looks as far as what they've shown so far, it looks the CGI they have of the planets and meteorites orbiting and all that stuff. It looks perfectly brand with Halo.
Don't get me wrong. The first Halo series was a low budget thing that you got to stream through their Waypoint app.
Doesn't count. I was a big fan of Red vs. Blue once upon a time.
I did see a meme of because the multiplayer started and they took out teabagging, but there's a way around of teabagging people still, and all these young Twitch streamers are why are people kneeling and spinning around on me? What's that? Why?
That's hilarious.
So I love the fact that most of the time, Fortnite players, or they got all these inside jokes that boomers and guys like me don't know. It's funny to see it reversed. Old ass 40-year-olds like me are trying to teabag teenagers on Halo, and they don't get it. And we're laughing at them behind, on the side, an inside joke.
And it's great just how much more ruthless our generation was on the internet.
Would not last a second in Halo 2 fucking game chat.
They
would not last a fucking second. Suicide rates would fucking triple.
Oh God.
It would be fucking they got this Activision strike fund. You want to talk about the protests and the fucking shit that would happen? It was savage. It was so savage. So fucking savage.
So, either way, I thought the trailer looked interesting. We'll see. It's on Paramount Plus, so not going to watch it.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
I still haven't watched anything on Apple TV yet because I'm not going to pay for it. But ultimately, maybe Halo gets me in there. Halo might, because that's the glory days for me there. All right, let's keep it going. We've got a little bit of a bleed over. We'll start into kind of tech with an overlap on some video games here.
Ken will hunt out the NFT story in any category.
I don't have to hunt them out. I just live in that space now. This is just, I am the metaverse. We've got Ubisoft's got their NFT announcement that they came out with. They came out with like a 1 minute video that
Ubisoft
talks about
Ubisoft.
I think it's Ubisoft. I think I just said it. I was waiting for you to say it. The second it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, this son of a bitch, he's not gonna let that go. The second I said it, I just felt dirty.
Here's your Brublé bracelet.
I just had to let it ride. I appreciate you for calling me out on that. All right, so Ubisoft here is they had like a 1 minute video that talked about, like, you know, really dramatic lettering, everything else. You have to kind of watch it because it's laughable. You got to think whoever put that together should be fired. But it talks about their Digit program, which is their NFT program. Any NFTs in their ecosystem is going to be called Digits. And you can play to earn unique skins that are rare and limited time releases and everything else. Got it. Rolling into the NFTs, into video games. No big surprise here for...
Yeah, we've been calling for many, it for a while.
And apparently, it's like the most disliked ratio of almost like any video on YouTube. 96% of people who have either liked or disliked it on YouTube gave it the thumbs down. So at one point, it was at 1,000 likes and 25,000 dislikes. So, which is absolutely hilarious to me in the way that the people have responded. Now, I am going to say that the article that will be up on the show notes over at thenerdcantina.com/show190. It's a pure hack job. Talking about the entire NFT space is an enormous pump and dump scam and an environmental catastrophe. And that's why I got all the dislikes. Like, okay.
Or just a bunch of gamers are looking at it as another way to suck out microtransactions.
Absolutely. And that's what it comes down to. But you want to know what? In the end, people are going to get these skins.
Bro, I'm
They're
here for
be coveted.
It. I'm here for
people
it.
People are going to proudly rep their skins, yeah. Just like their gamer score and everything else that they've ever had. Well,
and I don't see anything wrong with that. I honestly
and the only
don't
difference is that when you get bored with the skin, or if people are buying it online and you think, ooh, I really like this skin, but I could take $25 for it. Like, then you sell it. And it gives you actually a way to sell the skins and the things that you've earned. It's like giving you gamer points and gamer scores that actually could potentially have a market.
Well, the second story you have in the notes that goes with this is that they're also, you know, releasing NFTs that require a certain amount of hours played.
So they all require some level of achievement, just like gamer score points, right?
So like, this taps into the World of Warcraft guild leader that died in me a long time ago. Because that was one of the greatest things about World of Warcraft is you saw a motherfucker in the video game walking around with a certain helmet. You knew they grinded their fucking ass off. They went in with 39 other motherfuckers, sat all fucking night trying to kill some fucking boss, grinded through fucking levels of fucking dungeons and, you know, like you knew all that just by seeing the helmet the dude was wearing. Yeah. I love that shit. Cause like, man, if you're putting in the work, you should have something more than a guy like me who plays 2 hours a week and comes in and fucks up every fucking team's kill death ratio.
Yeah. And really, like, there's no difference. Like, you know, Call of Duty, they've been giving, you know, where you can rank up the skins of your guns. The people running around with the golden guns that show that, hey, they've
Overwatch
got to some
has
level
got the,
of legendary.
Overwatch has
they've
got the golden weapons.
Like, everybody does it. The only difference is now
Ubisoft I can make money with
is,
it.
is tying this to NFTs that you could resell in the Tezos market. And I just don't see the big issue. And even this article that comes out that talks about, and it says, like, we're living in hell because, you know, this NFT now requires you to play 600 plus hours in order to earn it. One, it's a rare item, and 600 hours isn't that much. Like, ask these Call of Duty Warzone players and stuff to get their gaming stats. Like, 600 hours is very achievable.
Bro, if you were able to log into my WoW account and type /played into that motherfucker, it is shameful. It is fucking shameful. The amount of like I remember doing that towards the end of my WoW career and just looking at it and being like, that is out like literal months to years of my life sat in front of a screen grinding digital things that get me nothing. They got me nothing. At least I could sell this one, you know? And that's the thing too, is like our brother sold a WoW character, which is gets your account banned back then and stuff like that. But there was an aftermarket for WoW gold
to level up to a certain level and then sell them.
And then just sell the character and level up another one. There was a whole fucking black market associated with the WoW. This just takes it out of the dark web. And, you know, like, and honestly, is it really unfair that the people that create the game and provide the fun gets a little piece of it on the back end? Like, I don't think it's unfair.
No, I think it's wild to me what the negative backlash. I get it. Like, traditional gamers, whatever, they want to keep things traditional, but they'll get over it the second they win, you know, 20 matches and they get this, you know, rare thing that only exists for one weekend, and then they go sell it for whatever, well,
this
for real
is,
money.
This is where the Gen Xer in me comes out and gets all salty. And it's like, this is what ruined World of Warcraft, is that they wanted more players, so they made it easier to get the gear, so that every time that an expansion pack came out or an update came out, it made the wearing the helmet way less valuable. Because what started out being a fucking hellish month-long grind to get that fucking helmet, they nerfed into a fucking one-week grind. And then they nerfed that even to a fucking one-day grind. And, like, it got to the point where, like, it didn't mean anything to have good gear. You could just buy it. You could just earn it through doing this fucking stupid thing here, because they wanted all those customers that had no time to game to come back in. Like, oh, you only got an hour to play WoW? Don't worry, you could have the same gear as that dude that plays 40 hours a week. We're going to make sure that everybody has equal gear. And the dudes that play 40 hours a week are like, well, what the fuck? Fuck you then. And like, this is the same thing to me. This is, you know, the only people crying and complaining are the motherfuckers that ain't going to put in the work. So fuck you. Why should you get it? Fuck you. Earn that shit.
Yeah. I mean, your nerd credit is well established here tonight. So appreciate the lesson here. And WoW. And yeah, no, NFTs, whatever. Video games, everybody get used to it. This is the way of the future. But let's keep talking here about our speed round here into 17 NFT stories.
He's such a dick.
No, but there are just some interesting things that happen in NFTs and crypto space this week. Let's talk about it. We've got some big, you know, Fortune 500 companies are fully on board with getting into NFTs.
Yeah, you today, gotta make sure to scan that Spider-Man ticket this week, boy.
This week, yep. We got on Thursday, we'll see Spider-Man and get my Spider-Man NFT. We've got Pepsi today launched a free NFT that you had to register for. They only gave out, I think it was like 1823 NFTs that were for free, called the Mic Drop NFTs, that are a bunch of like famous artists came and designed these special microphones and stuff like that in order to celebrate an anniversary for Pepsi, giving out these NFTs, which, you know, people were all over registering in a hurry to get those 1800 NFTs. And I'm sure there's going to be a secondary market that people can resell them and, you know, make some money off of those. And then the really big news in Fortune 500 coming into NFTs this week is that Nike acquired an NFT studio, collectible studio called Artifact. If you see it spelled somewhere, you're just going to think it's an acronym or whatever else.
I've been staring at it for 15 minutes going, I hope he knows how to say this.
It's RTFKT. I don't know how to say Ubisoft, but I can give you, but I'll give you Artifact.
But he knows that NFT acronym.
Yeah. Artifact is, it's a digital NFT company that specializes in digital metaverse wearables and like unique generated clothing. Nike buys it. Nike buys it. Nobody knows what they're going to do with it. Nobody knows what they bought it for. You know, there's estimations that it's probably a decent amount, seeing that this company just had like a fundraising round in venture capital and was valued at like $33 million 6 months ago. And you know, Nike's buying it, they bought it for a lot more than
that.
I
could see a bunch of sneakerheads buying Jordan NFTs just based off the fact of how many shoes they own. And they would just be like, these are shoes that you can't crease, yo. And a lot of people think it's to make shoes for the metaverse.
So I literally have an NFT from a company called Rare Shoe, which was a computer-generated digital shoe NFT. I have one right now in my crypto wallet. Like I'll show it to you later. These are like real things, real fake things, I guess. Real NFTs that are created. Artifact also has like avatars and profile picture type things. You know, so there's a lot of speculation around this, like how Nike's going to roll this out. They took the Artifact logo and in like the press release, they put that Artifact logo next to their other properties, which is, you know, the Nike swoosh, the Jordan, the Jordan Jumpman, the Converse star. And then they put the Artifact logo next to it saying, hey, this is our four properties now. So really trying to drive home whether they're just going to keep this all digital. You know, maybe they're going to ask Nike-sponsored people who are wearing their Nike gear to have one of their Artifact profile pictures and have to pay for one of their NFTs or have one of their NFTs be the logo and have that digital representation fully around. Who knows what Nike's going to do? But all I know is Nike's going to do something with it. And this is just a big step as far as like, I don't even know if this is a wanted step, right? Like most degens in the crypto space don't want these Fortune 500 companies to start stealing
well,
into
like how salty is like Xbox right now, because Xbox, you've had an Xbox avatar since the dawn of 360 and they had all kinds of clothes you could dress that motherfucker up in, and I guarantee they weren't selling much of any of that shit.
No, nobody was buying that.
And now the metaverse comes out and they're like, we gave you fucking avatars 15 years ago, you motherfuckers. We did all this shit. I remember my avatar used to go in a movie theater and watch Netflix with anybody you could do a group Netflix watch with. All our avatars sitting there in a movie theater.
That like, was the failed start of the metaverse.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Nope. I got a Master Chief costume, though.
This is an interesting direction for the NFT community. You know, real big money spent from a Fortune 500 company, Fortune 100 company, and a company that is a master at marketing. Like, you know, Nike, that's, yeah, it's a shoe company, but it's a marketing company above all. And this is kind of big news. All right.
Do you think they're going to use slave labor to make NFTs? Like, do we have a bunch of Taiwanese programmers sitting in a factory? And they just got some crazy dictator boss cranking the heat up in an office building in 90 degrees just so they all have to wear Dago tees sweating other schmucks.
What I imagine is going to happen is they're going to use these AI systems to random generate some off-the-wall shoes that are impossible to manufacture except for the nimble hands of somebody in. Well, glad you went there. Let's we could take this out of specific NFTs. Just as we're wrapping up the year here, just want to highlight some stories coming out saying that this year in 2021, you know, crypto hit a bit of a fever pitch. NFTs, crypto wallets, all that stuff has been pretty well adopted, and over $10 billion was stolen through DeFi related theft. And this article, I grabbed it, I read it. It gives some tips on how to like secure yourself. In the end, you know, it talks about research, know what you're investing in, know what the companies are, know the people behind it. That obviously, like, if you've never heard of the company or the people who are putting something together, just know they might be gone tomorrow.
Well, where there's plenty of, like, this brings up like a thing. We should do a Cantina conversation with maybe Sean and just like a secure your crypto wallet 101 intro to. We should do like an intro to crypto.
Yeah,
well, Cantina conversation.
Intro to crypto. Intro to NFTs. You know, let's go for it.
Like what wallets are safe? How to you know. Like what gas is, man? Yeah, we got to do that. Someone keep us honest about this shit because we'll just put it off and never do it.
Yeah, in the end, like this article gives some recommendations on what to do, but ultimately, just do your own research. Know what you're getting into. Just know that, you know, if you've never heard of this team behind who's doing it and they remain fully anonymous and stuff like that, hey. Doesn't mean it's a terrible opportunity. It just means that that's got a lot higher risk. Those people might be gone after your money is spent compared to somebody who has a reputation that is known, that is doxxed, or a company that is known that if they steal your money, it's kind of hard for them to get away with it, right? Like, there's just some basic principles there.
Think of crypto gains as a pile of money in the jaws of an alligator. Like you can get it. Like a lot of people be able to do it and get it safely, but a couple of you motherfuckers gonna lose some arms.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's more, and then ultimately, what you talk about, like knowing crypto wallets, knowing how to, again, a lot of people have their money stolen once they start not operating directly on exchanges, which there's some risk to some of these exchanges, especially these lower known ones. But it's when you pull your money off these exchanges onto crypto wallets, and then you either make an error in transferring money that money can then be very difficult to retrieve or impossible to retrieve, or just getting swindled and sending your money or linking your crypto wallet to ill-advised places that wipe you out. So
yeah, let's put it like this. No one with a sound investment is going to randomly pop in your DMs. Okay. I don't care what NFT project, I don't care what shit coin, whatever motherfucker is hyping you. If it came into that like folder in your DMs that they let you know, like, hey, you don't know this person, you want to talk to this dude? Like that back requested, you know, fucking DM part. If you take some financial advice out of there, man, I don't feel bad for you. You one-armed motherfucker. Like, I don't fucking feel bad for you. Be smart, man. Be smart. Yeah,
but ultimately, if you're not willing to do the research to protect yourself in the space, then just trade your crypto on Robinhood or whatever else, right? Like, you don't bother with the other stuff until you're willing to put in the time to protect yourself. All right. A little more on the speed rounds here. Let's talk about this. This is a fun story for me, but the article here is about the pitfalls of having a smart home. So there was an outage across Amazon Web Services this last week, and it left all kinds of things affected that had no operability. And we're talking about people whose smart fridges weren't working, people who couldn't function or turn on their lights in their home anymore,
This is a fear of mine.
Couldn't unlock their doors with smart locks.
I just put a smart garage door opener in my, I changed my garage door opener out a couple weeks ago.
Even down to Disneyland's ticketing system runs off of Amazon Web Services. People couldn't get into Disneyland.
Went down over there.
There are so many things that are connected through these smart devices and smart systems ran through the Amazon services, and they all went down for a period of time, which just gave this big gasp of people realizing what kind of control they've given up over essential functioning items in their homes. And I love it. I'm not immune to this. I've 100% got lots of smart devices throughout my home. This is still hilarious to me.
Yeah, at some point, this will affect my life, I promise you.
Yeah, that's it for that story. Let's talk a little bit about some hacking. Just that Google has now warned that over 1 million devices have been affected by some latest major Russian hack, in quotes, Russian, right? It's pretty well
Literally at this point, with how many fucking exploits and hacks are coming out, especially we talk about it all the time. We do a hack store almost every week, but even now it's getting out there, the overreach of these hacks, getting hacked on it's the internet version of HPV. Everybody just got it. You may not know it. You don't deserve it. But if you have ever touched the internet or did have any kind of digital life, you got hacked at some point. Somebody's got your email. Somebody's got your phone number. There's reasons why weird numbers call your cell phone. You got digital HPV. I'm sorry. That's how it goes. Everybody's got it, bro. Just let's go on with our lives.
Yeah. And apparently this one was perpetrated through Google Docs and through directly into Google accounts, affecting a total of 63 million Google documents that got spread across over 1 million individual devices. Google says that they've taken action against fixing it. They've actually opened up a lawsuit against two Russians that they believe are behind it, which is unusual. It's unusual to actually even open up a lawsuit to attribute it to specifically individuals. Normally we're just it's the Russians. Somewhere over there, we can't touch them, we can't do anything about it. In this one, it's an interesting kind of footnote of this article that they have opened up a lawsuit against two Russians. But ultimately, really not much you can do about it. This is internal to Google and into the Google systems, and Google is addressing it now. So hopefully you weren't affected here. It's really mostly a data scraping incident.
Most likely you were.
Just assume you've got HPV.
Just assume you've got HPV. Have you ever put your thing in something? Yes, then you got HPV.
All right, let's talk a little bit about space news. Let's wrap up here for the speed rounds of this week's Nerd News. In some space news, hey, the latest Blue Origin flight went, and Michael Strahan makes it up there.
Yeah, what the...
Look at Blue Origin, just get all that publicity. Send everybody you can. Get that great PR.
That's a big motherfucker to put in a tiny tube. that's a big motherfucker to put in a tiny tube.
I'm just thinking of old, like, Austin Powers now jokes. But that's a big Johnson.
I've been trying to think of a tooth space joke for like 25 minutes now, and I just can't come up with one. But there's one there. So a better comedian than me can figure that out. That motherfucker got some big teeth, and he just went to outer space. Somebody do something with that. Give me a meme at least or something.
The this rocket is named the New Shepard rocket, and the daughter of Alan Shepard, the namesake of the high school that Steve and I graduated from, is
brown and orange son,
was also on this rocket with Michael Strahan. And these rockets continue to go up. Jeff Bezos has not killed a celebrity yet. He keeps flying people up, and nobody's died yet. So that's good for Amazon. I also stumbled across on Amazon Prime. I didn't watch it, but I saw it, that there's an Amazon Prime series called Shatner, and it's a documentary about Shatner
going to space,
following all the way up to him going to space.
I don't know if I
you
could
know
take
that was on the contract.
I don't know,
you know,
oh, for sure.
Like, they were like, oh, we'll get you in space, but
we're gonna need an 8-part series, Adja.
So that's on Amazon Prime. Yeah, I don't think I'm watching it, but it's there for those of you looking for something.
You know what I want out of this, at least? Like, because it just, I don't know why, it just popped in my head, and I almost, like, audibly laughed in the middle of you talking. But, like, you know those caricature pictures that people draw at, like, carnivals when you sit down and they make you look like an asshole with the big head riding a tiny bike with, like, fucked up lips?
Yeah.
I want the Michael Strahan in a spaceship caricature. it's all that came into my head after we said this, is just this, that big fucking gap tooth smile in a motherfucking space suit in a goddamn dick rocket ship. Like, I kind of want that caricature hanging up in my fucking house.
In your house.
I might commission that.
That's aggressive.
I got all kinds of weird shit in my office. Nobody comes in here. I got like, right next to me, I have, like, an autographed picture of Charisma Carpenter from Buffy. Like, and then right next to the autographed picture of Boba Fett that Stu got me, just because he knows how much I fucking hate Boba. And the fucking dickhead went and met Boba Fett and got an autograph specifically written to me, like, says dub on it and everything.
All right. Well, we've got one last story here this week, and talk about Blue Origin successfully continuing to launch people up, and then we got Boeing.
Boeing takes L's.
Which, why are they still, trying to fly this, rockets? So Boeing had to swap a leaky valve and cancel another launch and another shuttle. Once again, like, it has been 2 years since they launched the last one, and it failed, and it just floated out, lost control, didn't connect to the space station, completely failed. It has been almost 2 years since then,
bro. That
and they
aside,
have just failed everything since then. They can't.
All that aside, it's only been like 2-3 years since they had airplanes randomly dive bombing to the fucking ground. Okay, like y'all motherfuckers focusing on outer space. It wasn't too long ago when you just had random planes being like, oh shit, we need to go down, and fucking pilots couldn't override it, and mad fucking planes were crashing. Like, they had to shut down the whole fucking shit. Like, keep focusing on fix your planes. Fuck this outer space shit, man.
It is wild how bad they are. They're still trying to do a launch in May of 22, but now they're investigating these leaky issues and everything else. So who knows if they make it space? But all I know is, if it's supposed to be manned flight, what astronauts getting on that?
Name another airplane manufacturer. Name another one. Try it. I can't.
I mean, it's true.
I can't. Is Airbus? Is Airbus a different one, or is that a division of
that
Boeing?
Might be. I don't know. I have no idea. No.
If But that's what I'm saying. Like, they got airplanes on lock, man. Like, you need to jump into the space competition with all these fucking evil geniuses roaming around trying to shoot people in outer space. Like, y'all need to get in it.
I guess so. Well, that's it. That's it for a week in news. We had some heavy talk on C2E2 there. And like always, let's just ask you to go ahead and join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us, have some conversations over there.
Blue Carney we'll bracelets for all.
Yeah, we'll continue the conversations. Send your hate mail to steve@thenerdcantina.com. And that's it.
Yeah, man.
Until next week, nerds.
We'll be back right after Spider-Man. We're going to let you know what we think about it with some fresh and crispy NFTs.
All right, talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.